Hey, what's going on? It's Quinn David Furness. Welcome to my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast for Friday, April 19th, 2024. What's happening? What's going on? How are you? Yes, this is discount, royalty-free version per YouTube of The Entertainer by Scott Joplin. This is provided thanks to our friends over at freesoundmusic.eu. So it's from the EU, so you know it's legit. You know what I read this morning? As part of my job, I read a letter of recommendation from a member of the European Parliament, the EU Parliament. I don't even really know what this means because individual countries in the EU have their own parliaments, like England or the United Kingdom has a parliament, right? So like how does that relate to the EU Parliament? I don't know. Is it just like United Nations or something like that on a smaller scale? These are things I don't know the answer to, but this is not the official Beantown Podcast trivia question of the day. But I want you to guess, what year was that letter of recommendation from that I read on an application that was submitted today? If you want more time, go for it. Pretty sure, based off of, we played 2000s music trivia last night with some, I played with some coworkers downtown bar below our office. Believe, to give you a little clue here, this was the year that season one of American Idol came out. That was not the clue last night. It was just part of a larger clue, and I haven't confirmed this yet. I don't know if it's true or not, so you can go Google it afterwards if you'd really like to know. But I believe the answer to both of these questions is the year 2002 is when this letter of recommendation was from European Union Parliament. Parliament. P-A-R-L-I-A-M-E-N-T. My name is Quinn. This is my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast now in our seventh year. A couple of housekeeping notes before we jump in here. First and foremost, hello to our great friends in Pakistan. Thank you for listening to our program. Thank you for making us the 112th ranked comedy podcast in the great nation of Pakistan. Listener discretion advised when you're listening to Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast. Number one, location is some language. Number two, this podcast is objectively terrible. Third bit of housekeeping, obviously, we are still not fully up and running, fully operational, functional with Audacity, which if you're unaware is the music recording software we have. I'm going to keep the temp tag on it, temporarily switch it over to, in sports when a manager or a coach gets fired mid-season, so the new person comes in and they're not like the official head coach, they're just the temporary head coach or intern, interim, I-N-T-E-R-I-M, that's it. We're putting the interim tag on Audacity. It's one of those things where, I won't get into the weeds here, but basically just I haven't transferred over the audio files, the MP3 files for the intro and the outro music to load into Audacity, which presumably is going to be super simple. The reason I haven't done it is because you physically have to go into the MacBook, grab those files, and then use that MacBook to send those files in an email. And the daunting thought of trying to send an email on that MacBook is frightening to me. It just itched my cheek, my chin, purposefully, and realized I forgot to. That was the one thing I really wanted to take care of before my shower today. Well, I was going to shave, which I did, but I didn't cut my fingernails. Long, and my fingernails aren't even long, but longer fingernails, one of my biggest pet peeves. I hate it because it feels like it goes from nothing, no problem, to, oh my God, I've got so much detritus under the fingernails every time I touch anything. It feels like it makes that transition, for me at least, in about 24 hours. It's crazy how quick it goes. Other bit of housekeeping here. Thank you again last week to Matthew Fiedler for coming on our program, our seventh annual taxes special. We had a great conversation. If you missed it, go check it out. Last week we talked joint filings. We talked Manson murders, a bunch of other things. One thing I will say, and I apologize to the listeners for this, with a new software like Audacity, trying to figure out the kinks and the max volume you could get out of that baby last week was tough. It was a very low ceiling. I remember I listened to part of the episode. I didn't listen to the whole thing. But when I was on a walk outside and I had, you know, my AirPods in, I think my volume on my phone was like all the way up. And I was like, it was like just right with the volume all the way maxed out with AirPods in. So apologies for that. I've tried to fix the situation a little bit here. I think that the audio, I did a little test before this, and I think we're good to go on, max volume. So we will cross our fingers, and go from there. This is going to be our big ideas podcast. If you missed it, you could have submitted your answer, your idea for a big ideas podcast on our Instagram. That's at q.queend, rolls right off the tongue, earlier this afternoon. No submissions yet. Let's check again. So tough day for listener engagement. I guess everyone was just, doing the slam the laptop shut until Monday sort of meme. That's a very popular one these days. Or maybe I'm just missing other people's submissions. I don't know where these things show up, but we've had a lot of viewers on the Instagram story and no submissions yet, which is a damn shame. But thank you to those of you. If you retroactively want to submit something to us, email us beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Again, it's Beantown, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. What I'm drinking today, and we'll come back to big ideas. We also have kind of our two other current recurring segments. If you're curious, Right on Cue is under construction. We're coming back to that. But we'll do this week on the campaign trail. We'll do a trivia question, and we'll talk big ideas. And then a couple just for the future of things, a reminder. I'll let you know the reminder right now before I get too far ahead of myself. Then we'll talk about we're drinking, and then we're going to jump in. 2 weeks away from our Top 10 Horse Special program. It's an annual thing. If you're new to the show this time around, every year Kentucky Derby weekend rolls around. Whatever that weekend is, our show going into that weekend, we do a Top 10 Horse Names Special. You might be wondering, hey, Quinn, are you just like looking at all the horses in the Kentucky Derby, picking your 10 favorite? No, it's not what it's about at all. It's basically a creative exercise where I come up with 10 horse names, theoretical names. These are not real horses. So far as I'm aware, these are not real names yet. No one has claimed them. They belong to me. But basically, each year I come up with a new list of 10 names that I feel like would be great names for racehorses. It was born out of, and I don't know how this really initially started. I don't come from like a horse racing family. And I only ever watch, the Triple Crown horse races each year. That's it. But growing up, I was always like, man, if I ever like could name a horse, I think I had the best name, which was Episcopalian, which ended up being our year one. It was our, top name. But I was like, hey, we don't just have to do one name a year. We can do a full list of 10. Well, here we are 7 years later, and we do 10 each year. And so that's where we're at. So there's going to be this year, we're going to do names 61 through 70, I think is how that works. And so what we've tried to do in the last couple of years is reserve one spot for listener submissions. So if you are out there, you're a beanhead, whether you are new to the show, this is your first episode, or whether this is your 330th episode, wherever we're at, email us beantownpodcast@yahoo.com in the next 2 weeks. Your time is running out with your submission for this year's horse name of the year. I will read all the submissions I receive. I'll do a little bit more outreach to make sure we get some names in there. But I will say it's still a wide open race, if you will, for that listener submission spot. I will say, and I'm not going to tease any names. I'm not going to share anything. I will just say, quantity-wise, I came up with another two this week. I'm already at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that right? I'm at 8. So I only have one more spot for myself, assuming none of these current ones get the boot. I do have a front runner that I like, but frequently I do not make a choice for the number one slot until right before I go to recording, which is important because I track all of them, but I have a list of ultimate number one horse names, right? And so this year we'll get number 7 in there, number one. I'm not going to go back right now in the show and read through our past top names. We'll have time for that in 2 weeks when it's all about the horses. But there you go. That's coming up in 2 weeks. So encourage you to email in. Next week, we'll be on the road. Rachel and I are going to Indiana, Michigan City for just a little getaway. Taking the South Shore line, very exciting. But yeah, I'll be recording on the road in some capacity, probably with my AirPods, kind of like what I did last time we went out that way. I went to Michigan and I recorded live from the Orb, which was, I thought, a really good episode, kind of educational. Got to read a bunch of the signs. I learned a lot. I thought that was one of, in terms of just like what's at the front of my cerebral cortex right now, if you will. One of the more fun episodes, and just getting to do it at an iconic place, Mount Baldhead, pretty fun. I got to remember, there's a Mount Baldhead like challenge. It's like a 10K or something. I think it takes place in August, Mount Baldhead Challenge. Let's see what this is. I think we've talked about this on the show before. I don't want to go back through it. I just want to make sure I get the date right. September 7th, 2024. That is a Saturday. It's after Labor Day weekend. So this would be the start of the NFL season. That's the type of thing I would love to do, especially because it's like, if I could get a car, borrow a car or something, could just drive there. Would probably drive there, you know, the Friday night and then run the race and then drive back home, Saturday afternoon. But the Mount Baldhead Challenge, basically, it's you can do a 10K or a half marathon. And it's just, you know, if you've never really been to Saugatuck or Mount Baldhead, it's a really beautiful area. And I actually haven't been directly there in the summer, right there on Lake Michigan. But I'm going to put a pin in that. I would going to take a little bit of coordination, but I would love to do that. So we'll come back to it. What am I drinking? We are working on a Miller Lite, if you're curious. And I actually had this thought right before I started recording. Kind of low-hanging fruit among our many power rankings we've done. We've never done a Quinn's personal take on light beer rankings. I don't drink a ton of light beer. I'm not one of those guys who's always coming home from Jules with, you know, a 24-pack of Old Style or something like that. I'll do that on occasion. And I'm trying to be, this sounds really weird to say, I'm trying to be better about drinking light beer, just because I know that, like, more or less the one major thing holding me back from really having a hot bod, if you will, summer season, swim, hot girl summer, hot podcast host summer, is I like to drink a lot of craft beer. And to me, it's just like a fun exploration sort of thing. I got to go to Old Irving Brewery this past Sunday for the first time and try some of their brews while I was listening to the Cubs game. That was a lot of fun after a hike. You know, these are the things I like to do. But a lot of calories in those high craft brews, high IPAs, that sort of thing. I don't know why I'm saying high IPAs. It sounds like it's from the Atacama Desert or something. Atacama, what is that? Anaconda? Something like that. Altiplano. Should know this. I've been working in Spanish. I'm on like a 108-day Duolingo streak, whatever the first day of the year is. That was one of my New Year's resolutions. I was like, you know what? I feel like I get so much time in my day. Let's at least take Duolingo seriously. I had never had it before, actually. And I've done it every day of this year. So it's April 19th. So we're whatever, 108 days in, something like that. So Altiplano means high plains in Espanol. Drinking a little Miller Lite, to finish that thought, Miller Lite is not my go-to. The reason I have it is because I was at Jewel's maybe 2 weeks ago. And sometimes when you get up to the liquor section, it's upstairs at the Southport location. You exit the elevator, and they might have like a cart with discount, heavily discounted or sale items. So they had a bundle of four glass Miller Lite bottles for $3, which I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not like a, oh my God, flash sale, can't miss. Because how much would a 12-pack of Miller Lite bottles usually be? Probably not much more than $12 or whatever, right? So it's not like, oh, this was a huge sale, but I was like, you know what? I'll grab some. It's on the way out. Helping them with their inventory. $3 for four bottles, I don't feel bad about that. You go to Wrigley Field, which I might try to do this weekend. Their beers, of course, those are 16 ounces, but their beers are up to $13.50 now for the cheap stuff, Miller Lights or whatever they serve, Bud Lights, I think, and Michelobes. $13.50 for a 16-ouncer. So this bottle I'm nursing right now was, 75 cents for 12 ounces? So And all your math majors out there can do some cost expense ratios. I'm also working on we got 15 minutes in, a classic Beantown. 15 minutes in, Quinn has discussed nothing of importance yet. Talk about the last 15 minutes. You all are sitting there like, oh, the last 7 years we've been doing this. Drinking a little bit of scotch. It's risky and it is what it is. It's not, it's relatively cheap scotch. I'm not really usually a scotch drinker. Usually the whiskey I buy, I can either drink straight on the rocks or add it to something else. I don't usually drink scotch on the rocks by itself because that's just, it's bold for sure. But I'm doing that today just because it's what I had. So we're going for it. I couldn't tell you the brand. It's kind of a green bottle, also from Jules. It was heavily discounted. It was like $10, so down from 20-something. Okay, let's do This Week on the Campaign Trail. Gosh, we got all the housekeeping out of the way. This Week on the Campaign Trail, the big news, of course, the Trump criminal trial started. This is the one that has to do with hush payments to Stormy Daniels. There's another lady, too. Essentially, what went on... And I've actually dedicated a little bit of time to this on Monday when the trial started to trying to figure out exactly like what happened, why is it illegal. I'm not going to try to explain all of it to you, but basically this whole Stormy Daniels thing, he paid her off to stay quiet, sign the NDA, but it was misclassified as legal fees basically, and that's what Michael Cohen went down for. And is Michael Cohen like in jail right now? I have no idea. It's hard to keep all these guys straight. But you know who is in jail is Michael Avenatti, too many Michaels. He was Stormy Daniels' lawyer, and he was doing like a presidential run for a hot second. I mean a hot second. And now he's in prison for other things, stealing client funds, basically. But I meant to Google Michael Cohen, and I Googled Michael Avenatti. That's how tough it is. Michael Cohen. Gosh, this is tough. What actually happened to him? Did he go to jail? Let's see. Tough to say. Oh no, he completed his sentence in November 2021. He was there for 2.5 years. So, gosh, time flies. Trump got elected 8 years ago. Crazy stuff. He's been like at the front of our political minds for almost a full 10 years now. In some ways, it's like, yeah, Trump's been around for forever. I feel it in my bones. But the other part of me is like, it seems like the most recent political thing, right? And that's almost a full decade old. We're all getting older here. Anyways, apparently, so jury selection is finally complete now. It's end of the day Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. here in Chicago, 7 o'clock in New York. But basically, my understand of what they've been reporting is that Trump is having a real hard time sitting still, and he has to be present for this trial. I'm not sure exactly why, because I know other things he doesn't have to be. So I guess it's because it's a criminal trial. We need to get brother of the show, Jack Furness, here as an Ivy League trained lawyer. He could explain this to us. And he's hot on the scene. He lives in New York. But basically, Trump got scolded for using his phone. You're not allowed to do that in a courtroom. He has been falling asleep. There's been multiple reports of that. And then the report I saw today is that he's been farting quite a bit. So this is going to be an interesting one. You know, the election is 6.5 months away. And, you know, I've always, you know, the general thought, I think, has always been, oh, if you want to do well in an election, you need to be out there. You need to rile the base. You need to be campaigning, fundraising, all that stuff. And so this is going to be a really interesting test of what happens when Trump is not out there. I haven't researched this. My hunch or my understanding is that he can go out on the weekends, right? Like there's no trial on Saturday and Sunday. He's not in jail or anything like that. So theoretically he can, spend his Saturdays and Sundays, which I assume he will, out, campaigning wherever he wants to. But five out of 7 days a week, at least for the next, it was this week. And I think these things, I mean, they just finished juror selection like yesterday or today. And that was just, so they haven't even really started yet. So it's got to be another 2 or 3 weeks at least, I would think. Again, not a legal expert here, but that's this week on the campaign trail. I think Joe Biden is just kind of doing his own thing. as long as he like avoids any major scandals, I'm not going to say like, oh, as long as he avoids major scandals, he got this made in the shade. Basically what I'm trying to say is like, he doesn't really have to do anything right now other than just like classic campaigning, because Trump is really tied up. Let's just put it that way. So that's this week on the campaign trail. Thank you for indulging me as we took a week off last week with friend of the show, Matt Feeler. Email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Did you get a tax refund this year? Did you have to pay in? Let us know. We'll aggregate some data and see how the beanheads are doing. I also wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, then we'll jump into our big ideas, and then we'll wrap up with trivia. Thank you to our, this scotch kind of has a smokiness to it. I kind of like, almost feels like I'm drinking a summer sausage. There's a big idea podcast for you. Jack Lynx getting into the scotch game, perhaps. Could be a good idea. I don't know if uncle of the show, Andy Dennison, is listening, but could be a good idea. Speaking of Andy Dennison, fantasy football broadly, NFL draft this Thursday. Hopefully Rachel and I make it to our humble abode in Indiana before things kick off, because the Vikings are at the epicenter of the NFL draft this year, which is crazy to say. Weird to think and feel. We'll see what happens, what shakes out. But NFL draft live from Detroit here in we're now 6 days from opening night, which, God, I am so thrilled. I'm a big football fan, big Vikings fan, and I have a daily Vikings podcast I listen to without fail during the off season, every Monday through Friday. They do put out content on weekends that they pre-record, but it's just there's so much burnout this time of year, because leading into free agency, all you can talk about is free agency, and then it happens for like 3 days, and it's crazy, it's exciting, it's awesome, and then it's done. And then you get another like 5 weeks of pre-draft stuff. And it's every day is just draft, 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 draft. And then finally that's done. And then I'll be honest, from late April until early August is pretty shitty from a football perspective. You pretty much get the schedule release in May. And then it is June and July are tough, tough months in terms of like content and putting stuff out. Not a lot happening. So that's coming up, but I feel like there's a little bit of comfort in the fact that there's nothing really to talk about. So if we're not putting out amazing stuff, it's okay. Cause like this is, it's baseball time, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, whatever, horse races. But man, the last 5 weeks leading up to the draft, just insufferable. Not because of any, people putting out material in particular, just the way I feel is like, we've talked to death about all the different scenarios, what could happen. And it's all just speculation. It's not like, oh, this piece of information came out. This is real. This is legit. Like, we have to listen to this. It's all just teams putting out smoke screens, agents saying this, so this happens, and it's, trying to influence this in the draft. It's not like, oh, this came out on Twitter, so that means this will happen in the draft. It's all for 6 goddamn weeks leading up to it. From free agency to the draft, it's all just, what if this happened? This would be cool. And so all these talking points are just talked to death. So what I'm getting at in a long-winded way is just, thank God the draft is here, because at least we can stop saying, oh, what if we do this trade? XYZ. Feeling burnt out big time by that. But thank you to our sponsors, good friends, Samson Q2U series. Thank you for the crisp, clear audio quality. There was a biblical garb category on Jeopardy the other night. No mention of Samson. There was Joshua at the city of Jericho. I figure that was pretty close. So when God speaks, whether he's at Jericho, going around 7 times, blazing those trumpets. You think they were playing like some, I don't know, New Orleans funeral brass band when the Saints go marching in type of jazz when they were walking around Jericho 7 times? Or if they had to add good cardio. You're blowing a trumpet, you're walking. It's like the OG marching band. Okay, we don't really talk about this. Maybe they teach that at like Liberty University or something, the first ever marching band, first day of summer, two-a-days before they actually get out onto the practice field to play their songs. They probably open up their Bibles and it's like, hey guys, the first ever marching band, Joshua and the Israelites going around Jericho 7 times playing We Will Rock You. we will Iraq you. I don't know. Jericho's probably not in Iraq, but it would be pretty cool. The pun would be very nice if it was in Iraq. We will Iraq you. All this is to say, when God speaks, he uses a Samson. Next up, the Cuts by Q. When you need a fresh do, something snappy or new, you got to call the experts at Cuts by Q, whether you're looking for a buzz cut, a bowl cut, maybe a Chicago Bulls cut. Guys, we got the last play-in game tonight, Bulls versus Heat. Jimmy Butler is out, which is pretty exciting. I hope he rests up, but it's okay that he's going to be out. Man, it would be really nice to, if we win this game tonight, beat the Heat, we lessen our draft position, and we get to lose to the Boston Celtics in four games. So that would be really nice. So I'm really crossing my fingers for that. My confidence level in the Chicago Bulls has never been lower. The most mid team of all time, every goddamn year, into the play-in games, into the play-in rounds. Maybe we make it out, maybe we don't. You get pick number 16 in the draft or whatever it is. You pick some no-name from Arizona or Memphis or Florida State, and you're like, well, I've never heard of this guy, but maybe they'll be good. And then 4 years on their rookie contract, they do nothing. And you're like, oh, I forgot this guy was on the team. They walk, they sign with the Orlando Magic or the, I don't know, Memphis Grizzlies. And all of a sudden, 2 years later, they're like leading those teams to playoff wins. And you're like, man, we never should have let that guy go. I thought he sucked. And it just turns out you're organization is just a black hole of despair. That's the price we paid for six rings in one decade. And I'm not mad about it. It's just a bummer because when we got the six rings, I wasn't able to experience or enjoy it. So what that means is when you need a fresh do, something snappy or new, call the experts at Cuts by Q. And finally, of course, how could we forget our good friends at Home Pride Oregon? 541-410-0316. That's the number to call. Ask for Steve. Say Quinn sent you. Say the Beantown Podcast sent you. And guys, home inspecting is not something, buying a home, selling a home, not something you want to take very lightly. This is life-altering decisions here financially. Protect your home, protect your family, protect your yours and yours, if you will. It's like something stupid you'd see on a wedding invite in cursive. I don't know. Home Pride Oregon, inspection. Perfection. Okay, it took us 28 minutes, but we are to our big ideas. And I'll say this, our big ideas show is just kind of a standing invitation, if you will, a standing show. It's kind of developed into an annual thing, like once a year, I think, oh, we should do a big ideas podcast. Really just kind of a creative outlet for me to, relay some ideas that are just range from creative and terrible to really not that creative and terrible. It's not a, hey, every year, this month, this week, this is our Creative Ideas podcast. It's not even a, hey, once a year, I got to make sure I do this. It's just kind of, when I feel like it, we will do a Big Ideas podcast. I did want to mention one other thing because I just saw this before we started recording, and this could have been a whole show, a theme for the show that we did, but neglected to do it. Earth Day is this Monday, April 22nd, 2024. So from all of us here at the Beantown Podcast, I do encourage you, if you get the opportunity, whether it's this Monday, this weekend, whenever, take half an hour, if you could, to go out and do something in your environment to clean up the world around you. Maybe it's just you see trash on the sidewalk. Yesterday I was walking down Jackson Boulevard, in downtown Chicago, getting ready to go for my run. And there was a plastic bag just floating in the wind like a Katy Perry hit. And I said, this plastic bag's got to go. So I picked it up, threw it in the dumpster and went along, on my run. So if it's simple, maybe it's a bigger project. I didn't do it this year, but last year in MLK Day, I went out to the Montrose Bird Sanctuary and took a trash bag from home, a big 30-gallon trash bag, whatever it is, and filled the whole thing up to the brim with bottles and trash and all this stuff. Whatever it is, I encourage you to take some time. Maybe it's just you're walking down the street and there's some litter in the yard and you're like, let me take care of this. One little thing can make a big difference. So from all of us here at the Beantown Podcast, Earth Day, this is the only Earth we have so far until, you know, Matt Damon gets those potatoes going on Mars. So happy Earth Day to all of us here, from all of us here at the Beantown Podcast. Okay, our big ideas show. I'm not even going to say the 2024 edition. It's just a big ideas podcast. And again, keep the conversation going at beantownpodcast.com and emailing us beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. You can leave comments in either spaces about what your big ideas are. Let's start off with the only one that anyone else is aware of going into the show. I shared this with Rachel when we woke up the other morning. So I have this idea. So I think anyone who's been married can hopefully relate to this, or if you're engaged right now, you're planning a wedding, whatever. There are certain people in your life, friends, acquaintances, relatives, right? When we get into the great uncles, great aunts range, there are people on my guest list who are backups. They are not going to make the original 151 Pokemon, or at like 160 or something like that. But it's just like people that would I love to, how this is how I would classify it. I would love to have a beer with this person, catch up with them, talk to them for 15 minutes. Like that would be a highlight of my day to be able to do that. But this is a person or people who maybe you're not close to anymore, or you only knew them in a very limited capacity in a short period of your life. So what do you do, right? These are people, and maybe you're even still connected to them on social media or something. You don't want to hurt their feelings by being like, oh yeah, like we're having a small wedding, sorry we can't invite you. You're not going for that vibe. But you also can't, you know, you can't have a 300 person wedding. You're not made of gold over here, not until these ads really start paying. You know, I've been doing ad reads for Home Pride Oregon for about 6 years now, and I haven't asked for any money, but they also haven't sent any, so it's kind of been a two-way street of nothingness, if you will. So here's the idea. Weekend before, so it's before things get crazy with the wedding, before you really have to dig into the planning, right? It's the weekend before your actual wedding. You have a pre-wedding. And here's what you can do. Obviously, you get to invite all of these tertiary people. That's kind of the primary benefit. Another benefit, though, you get to kind of do a dry run, if you will. You kind of get to see what works well, what doesn't work well. Maybe, you know, the officiant's got some jokes and all of a sudden, oh, that one didn't land. Let's cut that. You know, it's kind of like SNL, right? They do a dress rehearsal, you know, an hour before showtime. They go through the whole thing. They decide what's going to get cut, what they need to change, that sort of thing. Guys, you can do the same thing for your wedding. And it doesn't, here's the goal, here's the little sneaky part about it that's so tasty. You can make money off of this, okay? I know we're all concerned about bottom dollar. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Tomorrow. Etc. Here's what you do. And I told this to Rachel. Obviously, you don't need your venue, right? This isn't a rehearsal dinner. This isn't a walkthrough. This is just a pre-wedding wedding, if you will. You can do it at a local park shelter. You could, do it in, someone's backyard. Basically, somewhere that you can get into for free. And then we're talking food like this. Obviously, you still want to feed these people. But if they're going to your pre-wedding wedding, they know that they're not, A-tier guest list, AMC Stubbs list. And so they're not expecting to be wined and dined, right? You don't need to get their dietary preferences. You just go to, Costco or whatever the most cost-effective way of feeding the masses is, fishes and loaves night, however you want to handle it. You just get a shit ton of bread, maybe some mayonnaise, bulk mayonnaise. You get one of those big jars. It's like 2 gallons. And just, a bunch of cold cuts or something. You could even, go to Jules. You find the Miller Lite discount I was telling you about, some cheap scotch that I'm about to sip from. So you can do this cheaply. And here's the thing. These fringe people in your life will be so happy to have been invited. They're going to shower you with gifts. Shower the people you love with love. Show them, however the rest of the James Taylor song goes. You could walk away from this pre-wedding wedding with enough money to bump up that honeymoon from Michigan City, per se, to Guatemala City, home of the Jaguars. I had to look this up. There was a Jeopardy question the other night, and it showed an animal that was very clearly either a jaguar or a leopard. I say jaguar because that's how they say it in the British car commercials ad. Jaguar. And it was, but it was native to, I think it was either Mexico or Guatemala. And I was like, well, it's got to either be a jaguar or a leopard. And then I looked it up, and leopards are only like Africa, South Asia, basically. Jaguars are all over the place, you know, Antarctica, Fargo, Siam, not to mention, you know, Latin America. I don't know how we got into jaguars, but basically, bottom line, pre-wedding wedding, great opportunity. You get to see all these people. No one's feelings are hurt. You still get to celebrate. You get to party. You don't need a DJ. Just plug in the aux cord. Turn on your favorite album, Herbie Hancock, Headhunters. Dum bum 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 bum. Boom, 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 boom. That's basically the song. There's another 15 minutes, but we don't have time today. So that's big idea number one. Number two, and I'll admit honestly, this one is not very well fleshed out. I just kind of was like two drinks in last night and heard something triggered me, and I was like, this is a big idea, and I wrote it down, and it's not that good, but it is what it is. That's the thing with the Beantown Podcast. It's a creative space for all walks of life, really, all genders, races. Boston Marathon was this past Monday. Congratulations. Friend of the show, Abby Witzak, who we're actually getting drinks with in an hour here. Her younger sister completed the Boston Marathon this past Monday. Congratulations. To Hannah. Very well done. Okay, this second idea, we have, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But 5 and 6 are tied together. I was going to make this pun earlier. It has nothing to do with big ideas. Because I was deciding which beer I wanted to grab for this show, and I ended up grabbing the Miller Lite, obviously. But I also have a, is it called... Brick House or some Brick Stone, something like that. It's a brewery. I think it's down in Bourbon A, but it's a juicy IPA that is very kind of sweet and difficult to drink just because of how strong and sweet it is. But I was gonna drink that on the show, and then I was gonna say the juice is loose, and it was gonna be a tribute to OJ, and you know, but it doesn't really work because you know he's dead and probably a murderer, and I didn't even drink the juicy IPA, so really none of the boxes got checked, but I wanted to share that because I had the thought in my mind, and there's 7 billion other people out there listening to the show, potentially, who otherwise would never get to hear that groundbreaking thought. So, this next one, Man Mentor Men. That's what it is. It's basically the word mentor has men in it. So we got to get some men mentoring men, but man mentor men. I could be that man, or it could be anyone. Here's what I wrote down last night after two drinks. Online counseling service. The exact same. Okay, this is where it gets better. The exact same as BetterHelp, but we undercut them on prices. And wouldn't you know it, I just got an email from BetterHelp this morning. They're like, you have some sort of free membership through this fraternity. I'm like, I'm not in a fraternity, although I am currently the staff/faculty advisor for a fraternity at DePaul, which is a whole other show that I don't want to get into. It's extremely frustrating. But I also was a fraternity advisor when I was in graduate school for, who was it? Delta Nu, I think, something like that. I actually looked this up earlier this week because I was like, whatever happened to those guys? They were banned from Northwestern for a long time. Then they came back when I was in graduate school. It was the first year they were back on campus. And so I was one of their advisors, just disaster all over the place. And they're since gone again. I don't know if they're banned or just disbanded, but I did get an email from betterhelp.com. So basically what Man Mentor Man is going to be about is offering exactly what BetterHelp provides, whatever it might be, but it's just for men, but it could also be for women. But, you know, the name implies it's just for men, but, you know, it's going to be like, we start with men because of the name and it's fun, but we expand to women, and it can be women, mentoring women, right? Something like that. I don't know. We'll workshop it. We'll do that on next year's show. But I don't know. Just, I feel like men need to really mentor men. And so this will be a mentoring space for men to be mentored by men, for men, and with men. You could do single men mentoring, group men mentoring. It just, this all reminds me of one of the classes I had to take, core classes in grad school, was a leadership develop, I don't know, I think it was just called leadership in education was what it was called. And it was taught by a professor. I won't name drop. I'm not trying to, I knew this guy only in a limited capacity as a student. I was 21 years old, 22 or whatever. He was a total dick, like inside of the classroom, but I'll retract that. Not a total dick, just kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. And a lot of other people in my class, a lot of other grad school friends really hated him. I never hated him that much. The one thing I did hate him for was that we had to spend $75 on at like Art Blick stores, whatever those are called, getting the PDF of all the readings printed out. That was like our textbook. And it's like, why couldn't I just access this on my computer? Why did you put this behind like a $75 paywall at Blick Materials or whatever? Because it was literally just PDFs from Harvard Business Review that we had to read for that class. But it was all about leadership, coaching, mentoring. I literally felt the whole class was like an MLM seminar. And then to top it all off, it was a class where we had to come in on two Saturdays out of the quarter. And that was my first ever time I tried to run the Shamrock Shuffle. I was like, cool, Shamrock Shuffle. Like, I'm a runner now. I just run the Chicago Marathon. Let's do it. Signed up with some friends from grad school. And then, of course, they scheduled it for the exact same time as the Shamrock Shuffle. And the cherry on top of that was that there was a TA in the class who had graduated from the same program. He's like a year out. And he got to show up late to this class because he ran the Shamrock Shuffle and then took the train up from downtown. And then he was late. And we're all sitting there just like, this guy's showing up sweaty. He's got his medal on. And we're like, boy, that would have been fun to run. We all lost out on, you know, 50, 60 bucks, whatever it was, because they scheduled this class on a Saturday. No. Hopefully man mentor man will be, it's man mentor men, not men mentor men or men mentor man or man mentor man, but it's man mentor men. Got that. Hopefully it will be better than that leadership class I took. And we're not going to charge you $75 for a textbook that's just PDFs, because we're going to undercut BetterHelp on prices. Okay, let's keep going here. Don't be alarmed by the first word of this three-word thing. Vibrating toe slippers. Here's what I'm thinking. This is where it was born out of. Jason Bourne. I love slippers, right? Who doesn't? And I didn't, up until, I don't know how old I was when I switched over to like always wearing house shoes. I didn't wear, and when I say house shoes, slippers, Adidas sandals, what I'm rocking right now, whatever capacity, but basically not being just barefoot or socks only in the house. Excuse me, that was a foreign concept to me growing up. I'm sure I had sandals in some capacity, or slippers in some capacity, but I didn't wear them frequently, and sandals were only for outdoors, right? But at some point as an adult, I switched over, and I think it's fairly recently, I think it's like the last 6-7 years, to where I'm like, if I'm in my apartment, especially with the hardwood floors, I think hardwood versus carpet is a big factor for me personally. It's like I always am either wearing my Adidas slip-on sandals or my Vikings slippers that I got from I think it was Rachel's aunt and uncle a couple of Christmases ago. Thank you guys for that. But I never, until I'm like crawling into bed at night, I never, socks or otherwise, I'm never not wearing my house shoes. My thought was, okay, they have those socks, toe socks, if you will. There's even the ones they make for running. Basically an individual whole orifice, if you will, Dune popcorn bucket, for each individual toe, right? So my thought is, what if you get slippers? They look like any other normal slipper, but you can, you know, plug them in USB-C to charge them up, and they kind of have individual toe things you slide right into. And you know when you go to get a pedagogy? What is that? What the hell is that thing called? Pedicure. Tough. Tough one. Getting towards the end of our scotch, you're getting towards the end of our episode. And they put like the little white foam cushiony things in between your toes. I don't know because I've never gotten a pedicure before, but I've seen this happen in the media. Basically, that's what I'm envisioning with these slippers. You stick your feet in and then they kind of vibrate. And maybe there's enough room for the things to kind of like move around a little bit. Maybe not full 360 rotation, but close. They kind of get the detritus out of your toes. One thing that would be tough would be, how do you clean these slippers? I don't know. You definitely want to unplug from your power source before you do that. But not my top concern right now. So, vibrating toe slippers. They vibrate. They can get, maybe if you got your toenails are a certain length, they can kind of get under there and clean under there too. So, there's potential there, I feel. 20-minute battery life charge, maybe longer, but I don't know. You could also add in a heating element for those cold winter months. I think out of all of these bullshit ideas here, this one is actually the closest to an actual idea that you could do. Okay, let's wrap things up here. We got three more, but the last two are underdeveloped and tie into one another. Next up, I was having this thought. The transfer portal in college basketball has become all the rage. With NIL and transfer rules loosening, it feels like every single player is always transferring. It's so bizarre to me. I'm not plugged in enough to the sport to understand why is this person transferring, why is that person transferring, whatever. But case in point, Wisconsin Badgers, right? They go to the Big Ten title game. They go to, you know, the tournament. Their two best players, AJ Storr and Chucky Hepburn, you know, faces of the team. They play so well, you know, everyone's behind them, rooting for them. Both those guys transfer out, like after, you know, just in the last week, 2 weeks, like those guys are both gone. And that's just one of many stories across college basketball where top players are transferring to different programs, better NIL access, whatever it is, I don't know. But it's really kind of bumming me out because it's like every single year in college basketball now, you have a brand new team and it's like, who is this person? You know, this guy's not, you're never going to get that, that kid from Kansas, whatever his name was back in, you know, the early 2010s, who looked like he was like 35 years old and everyone joked that he'd been there for like 8 years. Perry Ellis, I think was his name. You're not going to get that anymore. So here's what I propose to balance out the transfer portal. And we gotta work through the details here, but I'm proposing that at the start of a game, you automatically get a certain amount of points based on the amount of loyalty in your roster, okay? So we got to shake things out here, and we got to determine how it works. Is it, you know, but basically what I'm getting at, okay, take this with a grain of salt, mold it as you need to, NCAA. I know you're listening. Let's just baseline, okay? We tweak it as needed. If you got a senior on your roster starting lineup, I don't know. We got to mix through this stuff a little bit. 4 points, junior 3 points, or let's change it this way: if they've been on your team 4 years, 4 points; 3 years, 3 points; 2 years, 2 points; 1 year, 1 point. Now, obviously, there are flaws in this. We got to work through it. It could also be another fun, fresh idea. What if a fourth-year player scores a bucket? That could be worth 4 points. What if a freshman scores a bucket? That's only 1 point, right? These are the things we got to work through. There are ideas that we can float out there, but we shouldn't just look at my idea and say, well, this is stupid. You only have, you know, 75 subscribers, whatever it is. You've done 300 episodes, 350 almost, and you don't have any, you know, real sponsors. No one actually really listens to your show. Your technology sucks. You always make these big promises about donor prizes, then you never deliver. Although we fucking delivered on the bags this year, so you're welcome. If you missed out on this year's, you know, Beantown Podcast Donor Prize Telethon, you missed out big time because now you don't have a limited edition tote bag. I don't even have one. That's how limited it is. But all this is to say, NCAA, maybe you should pick up the phone and listen. Pick up the podcast, okay? Because this idea is this going places. You want to solve your transfer portal issue? Bean Town Podcast got your back. Okay, my last two ideas. First up, and I'm not going to go into a tangent on this. We've already covered Taylor Swift on this show many times. Last year, we did our 1889 album. It was a total banger. It had, you know, Battered Women on it. Great song. We got to get going on our... There's a lot of pressure, slightly off topic, but a lot of pressure. I was thinking about this in bed last night. This year is the follow-up to Daddy Long Legs, our annual Father's Day song, and we kind of dropped the ball on it for like a year or two, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. Came back hard in the paint. Daddy Long Legs easily, you know, just, it was like a middling, starving artist who's just been like surviving for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden they come up with a huge hit 6 years in, and it's like, where the fuck did this come from? Two F-bombs on one show. What a day. It's the Scotch. Daddy Long Legs, lay up 1,000 eggs. And then you get the remix. Ooh, listen to that remix the other night. Whew, thing is a total certified banger. Shout out to lover of the podcast, Rachel Ramos, for inspiring the idea to remix Daddy Long Legs, make it into more of a club mix. And if you're wondering, is that getting played at the wedding? That's an affirmative. Where, I don't know, we have to strategically deploy it. Rachel's considering it to walk down the aisle. I'm considering it to walk down the aisle. We're considering first dance, Rachel and Jose dance to it. We're going to see, okay? There's a lot of competition over it. But there's pressure to follow up with another certified banger. I have not started writing it. I'll be candid with you. Father's Day is 2 months away. We've got 2 months to figure this out. Will it be spider-themed? I don't know. I don't want to get redundant, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay. But I don't want to focus on Taylor Swift too much. She did drop an album, and this is all through Rachel. Rachel told me she dropped an album last night, the Tortured Poet Society, I think is what it's called. And apparently at midnight, she dropped the album, which has 15 songs. And then 2 hours later, per Rachel's report, she dropped the same thing, but with another 15 songs. This is where I'm confused. She dropped an album with 15 songs, and then she dropped. She released something with 30 songs. Is it 15 of the old songs and then 15 new ones? Is it 30 new ones? What are these 30 new songs, and why did she release them 2 hours apart? Why isn't she sleeping? It's 2 a.m. Even if you're LA, it's only midnight, or it's already midnight. She's in her 30s now. You would think you would need some sleep. So here's my big idea. And we're going to get to the other one in a hot second here. And I'm not here to go off. I haven't listened to the album yet. I'm not here to criticize the album or the songwriting or Jack Antonoff being just completely bizarre in this last week, and not to mention his album I'm not a fan of personally. But here's my big idea, and I'm just going to leave it at this. Taylor Swift, give it a rest. She just spent the entire like last year being on top of the world. Travis Kelce, who I think they're still dating, he just won the Super Bowl literally 2.5 months ago. She's on screen all the time. Like, everyone's talking about her. It's only been 2 months of like, not, you know, people not talking about Taylor Swift as the number one headline every single second of every single day. 2 months. And she's out here dropping another album because she's so starred for attention. I'm not here to comment on the music, criticize the music, anything like that. It's just from like a culture perspective, like, hey, just like pump the brakes. Like, go do literally anything else. You don't have to put out an album 3 months after your tour ends or whatever. Exhausting. I can't handle another Taylor Swift front of the news cycle because it's just not interesting to me anymore. So apologies. That's just how I feel. My last idea, I'll leave it very simple. Remember that band BTS, the K-pop band? They had that song, like Dynamite or whatever it's called. Like, I don't even know if that's the same song. Bring that BTS band back, right? It was kind of fun. It was kind of edgy. Like, no one knows what they were saying. It was like 10 people in one band. Everyone was like, had their favorite. I didn't really know any of their names or what they were saying in their songs. But there's kind of that era, or that aura, sorry. Mind is on Eras Tour, Aura of Mystery about BTS. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of fun. Kind of like overly produced, but it's not like sad sob stories. Taylor Swift, I wrote this song with my blood last night. He called me. He left another voicemail. And I just had to express these feelings in a song. And then some sad sap Jack Antonoff ballad, you know, that people are like, oh my God, she expressed her feelings. She was so brave. Give me the BTS Katy Perry inspired, you know, overproduced bullshit, okay? With some cool dance moves, theoretically, because I watched some of the dance moves Taylor had in the Eras Tour film and not impressed. I can do the stanky leg. Let's see Taylor do it. That is this year's, or I don't want to limit myself, this week's Big Ideas podcast. Again, email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com with your big idea. We're going to get this in under the hour mark, I promise you, especially with no outro music. Baby steps, right? Not giant steps, John Coltrane, baby steps. We got the intro music in here. I'm not going to go with the outro music. We're finishing up with our trivia question. And it's going to be very simple. And it's not related at all to anything we've talked about. But it was like all my Twitter timeline was about this based off of the accounts I follow, which will show you how I use Twitter. This week, here's the question. This week was the 40th anniversary. I think it was April 16th, 1984, of this Peanuts musical special. And yes, if you're wondering, the title track from it is an absolute banger. Rachel and I came across this for the first time maybe a year ago. I still listen to the title track here and there. It is just magical what they did with that program. And absolutely critically panned. People hated it, but I love it. It's a Peanuts special with adults in it. Pretty cool. At the club. And I will say this. The name of the musical special refers to Snoopy. And those are all the clues I have for you. So again, this week, 40th anniversary of this Peanuts musical special. And yes, the title track from it absolutely slaps. And the name of the special slash title track refers to Snoopy. And if you need more time, go ahead and take a pause because we're wrapping up things here. But the answer to this week's trivia, Beantown Podcast trivia question of the week is Flash Beagle. They call him Flash, 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 Flash Beagle. And if you have never listened to Flash Beagle before, I envy you and your virgin ears because your life is never going to be the same. 4 minutes of just goodness. Okay, so Flash Beagle, happy 40th birthday to the one and only Flash Beagle. Guys, that's what I got for a long show today. No apologies, all apologies, Nirvana. I saw Ben Gibbard do a cover of All Apologies on a piano at Talia Hall back in 2019, 2020, something like that. Good stuff. Couple of Seattle guys. That's what I have for you, everyone. Thank you for tuning into my show. Thank you for indulging me in some big ideas. Apologies, it took us a hot second to actually get to the ideas this show. Beantown Podcast at yahoo.com, beantownpodcast.com, Twitter at beantowncast. Leave us a 5-star review, a positive rating if you've never done that before, wherever you're listening to your show. We do new episodes of Quinn David Furness Presents the Beantown Podcast every single week. Without fail, no days off, no weeks off since January 2018 to now and into the future. That's what I have for you. Hope you're doing well. And oh, one final thought. I had this because my brother, shout out to Walt, he's in Hawaii. If you ever thought, hey, I wish I had more Beantown, there's a neat little trick you can do on your podcast app. You turn it down to 0.25 speed and then it will be like I am talking like this, which is really more like ET more than anything else, but that could give you, this could be a 4-hour episode. You're trying to pass the time on an 8-hour flight across the Pacific Ocean. You slow Beantown to 0.25, you'll feel like you're going insane. I don't know if that's better or worse than listening to nothing, but it's something. Guys, stay safe, stay sane. No outro music. Maybe we'll get that going next week. My name is Quinn. Thanks for listening to my show. Take care. Bye-bye.